It's a familiar sound in Cairo's Tahrir Square this morning, but the implications of this violence may be a little bit different, and that's where we begin. Egyptian security forces firing weapons and using batons and tear gas for a fifth day in the latest operation to clear Tahrir Square of opponents of army rule. Activists and eyewitnesses say soldiers charged hundreds of protesters at dawn this morning. In the days of street fighting, more than a dozen have been killed, several hundreds injured. Yesterday, Egypt's military rulers faced calls from around the world to stop the violence, and the military leaders actually went before the public in Egypt. What did they say, and what are the implications, and what are the accusations of the military instigating this violence or protesters refusing to clear Tahrir Square? We go live now to Noelle King, freelance reporter in Cairo, Egypt. Good morning, Noelle.
Good morning, John.
So explain how these protests, even though they're in Tahrir Square, a place that's familiar to all of us who were watching the revolution in Egypt, how these particular protests represent a different kind of struggle between protesters and the military rulers.
Well, two things have changed since the January revolution. The first thing that's changed is that the protests have become increasingly violent. Instead of peaceful marches comprised of tens of thousands of people, you have a few hundred people, protesters, facing off against the Egyptian military. The protesters throw rocks and Molotov cocktails, and the Egyptian military sweeps through the streets carrying iron batons and clubbing the protesters. So the level of violence has changed, and the numbers have changed. The other thing that's changed is the sentiment, as you alluded to in the introduction there. The protest movement at this point is fairly small. It's maybe a couple of thousand strong in Cairo itself, a couple of thousand hardcore in Cairo itself. And the majority of Egyptians, millions, tens of millions more Egyptians, are looking at the protesters now and saying, is this really the kind of bandwagon we want to jump on? If we want the country to return to normal, isn't the best thing to just go home, continue with the democratic elections, which have been going on for a couple of weeks now, wait until we've got a democratically elected government, and then we deal with our problems from there. So the protesters are facing some criticism from the Egyptian public.
Well, let's explore that sentiment, because you do have the people who came out in huge numbers earlier this year. They are not motivated in the same way that the hardcore protesters that you've described are, and we want to explore why. Here's an assessment from General Adel Amara of the Governing Military Council, speaking yesterday.
There was a unique model of Egyptian people cooperating with their own army since the beginning of the revolution. And this cooperation has bothered forces that have bad intentions for this country. This power aims to topple the state and get Egyptians involved in unrest with their own army.
Now, that's General Adel Amara of the Governing Military Council. He suggests that the majority of the people in Egypt are with the military, while the people in the square are claiming that, no, in fact, there's martial law in Cairo and we want it stopped. Where do you stand? I mean, not where do you stand, but make sense of this for us, Noelle.
Well, yesterday's press conference was really striking. It was one of the first times that the military came out and aggressively said, effectively, to the protesters, we don't need to put up with you. We haven't done anything wrong. That is untrue. You've seen the video footage and the pictures to prove it. The military has cracked down very harshly and with a lot of violence. But what they were effectively doing is alluding to the fact that they're winning the propaganda war, if you will. The Egyptian people look at the protesters now, many of them, and say, these kids are thugs. And what the military was telegraphing yesterday is, we are winning this fight. We are winning the war for public opinion. Now, there were a couple of press conferences in Cairo today where the opposition and the activists held their own meetings to alert the public, if you will, to the fact that they are still being beaten, they are still being abused, they are still being put in prison. The problem is, the public sentiment just doesn't seem to be with them. The thing that Egyptians are concerned about overwhelmingly right now is this country's economy. And what they recognize is, and you hear this again from food vendors, from taxi drivers, from shop owners, from street sweepers, if people don't calm down, if the area around Tahrir Square remains in a state of disarray and sometimes carnage, there is not going to be investment in this country. Tourists will continue to flee and to avoid Egypt altogether, and this country's economy will be in a state of ruin as it is right now.
Indeed, a reminder that Tahrir Square, aside from being a revolutionary symbol, is a symbol of the tourist economy there, just as significant as the pyramids. What are we to make of this sentiment? Here's a high school teacher who I believe you spoke with who seems to be part of the protest movement, but doesn't necessarily seem to be some sort of counter-revolutionary. Listen.
The man who shot me in the foot was part of the army. I saw him, and he looked right at me, and then he shot me. I want the army out. I want the general out. They don't have any respect for our rights, and they shouldn't be in power.
Now, this high school teacher named Samer is referring to the general. That's General Tantawi, right? Tantawi.
That's correct. And listen, we've spent the past couple of minutes talking about the Egyptian people turning against the protesters. Now, this woman is an example of what happens if you get more people like her. This woman was veiled. She was moderate. She was middle-aged. She was, as you said, a high school teacher. She was not a revolutionary. She was not throwing Molotov cocktails. If more women like this and men like this come out into the streets, and if more pictures emerge of people like her being beaten, this woman's foot had been injured, if more pictures emerge like that of your average, say, mom or dad or teacher being beaten, then you will have a situation, you will have the potential for a situation for the tide to turn again against the army and back in favor of the protesters. It's a tug of war right now. That's really what we're looking at.
But calls for collective martyrdom to produce more pictures like that can only mean that Tahrir Square will become more violent. How long do you think the government, the military government, will hold on in this custodian capacity as the election goes forward? Or is there going to be some sort of concrete handover that we're going to see in the next year?
No, John, here's the really important part. I mean, the situation in Tahrir Square right now is producing arresting images, but it's not the real story. The growing storm on the horizon here is this. The military council does not appear to want to cede power. At the same time, you have the Egyptian people coming out in overwhelming numbers to vote, primarily for Islamists in the Muslim Brotherhood and the Salafi parties. These guys who are democratically elected, are about to go in the next couple of weeks head-to-head with the Egyptian military, and they will fight for control of this country. So what's going on now is actually just a prelude to some pretty dicey weeks ahead in Egypt.
That's a battle that's been brewing for nearly a century,
that's
a battle
right.
Between the military and the Muslim Brotherhood and all the other Islamist forces inside Egypt. Noel King, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Noel King, live freelance reporter in Cairo, Egypt, taking a look at the situation on the ground in Tahrir Square and the much bigger story throughout the country.